Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. Right now we have Maya Schoen. Ralph Schoenman will be with us very soon. If you'd been listening during the Taking Aim Hour, you would have heard that we are having the hidden history of Zionism and the roadmap, a dead end for the Palestinian people, as our premium gift to you for your contribution of $100. If you're just coming on now, you're in for an amazing experience with listening to the excerpts of the hidden history of Zionism from Ralph Schoenman. During the next 2 hours, we hope to play two excerpts for you and to play an excerpt from my portion of the discussion, The Roadmap. You will recall there have been time after time, whether it was the Madrid Peace Accords, then the Oslo discussions, and it eventually came to The Roadmap. And after The Roadmap, you had Mitchell going around from the United States, going George Mitchell with his shuttle diplomacy. And at the moment, they have yet another aberration, which is called the proximity talks between Israel and the Palestinians. It's the latest in the cynical exercise launched by the Obama administration, the current administration of the United States. This is an incredible lecture. Three CDs, a presentation of Ralph Schoenman of the Hidden History of Zionism, the presentation of by me of how the West Bank has been carved up, the attempt to forcibly remove the Palestinian people and strangle their livelihoods, and the negotiation process involved with the imperialist powers to make that happen. And then the third CD is the discussion with the audience. Your $100 contribution, 212-209-2950. I hope volunteers come in, because during the Taking Aim Hour, we had many of you calling. We had the phones fully lighting up the board at the end of the hour. And we need the volunteers to come and staff the telephones. So please be patient when you call 212-209-2950. We're doing this, we're offering this premium because of the incredible assault by the Zionist government, the Israeli government, the Israeli military, the Navy in particular, on the humanitarian flotilla led by the large Turkish boat sponsored by the humanitarian organization in Turkey with the support of the Turkish government, the official support. As written in The Guardian, Robert Booth, they came by sea and air, shattering the peace of the Mediterranean night. Shortly after 4:30 a.m. Monday morning, May 31st, in international waters, the elite Flotilla 13 of the Israeli Navy stormed on the Mavi Marmara, the flagship of a flotilla crewed by an alliance of pro-Palestinian activists who had combined to deliver 10,000 tons of aid to Gaza. Now, what is spectacular about this assault by the Israeli military, who have had assault after assault, if you recall, even an assault on an American military vessel, these mass commandos, they rappelled onto the Turkish ship from their helicopter, and then they boarded from their fast-moving launches. And they came with guns, and they immediately began using them. They had stun guns. They had the stun grenades. They had tear gas. They attacked these unarmed people, and they killed at least 19 of them and wounded more than 50. This was on international waters. There's been worldwide response, as I know you in New York and as we here in the Bay Area have been doing, demonstrating, protesting. But most of all, we need to support WBAI, which brings to you the communication about this Israeli attack on Gaza, that brings to you programs such as Taking Aim, such as the program of Barbara Nimni Aziz on the Middle East, such as the programs on Asia, the Asia-Pacific Forum, such as the programs of Building Bridges on labor issues, the Housing Notebook. please, our contribution, the gift from Ralph and myself to WBAI, which enables us to be with you week after week. Our gift to you is The Hidden History of Zionism and the Roadmap, A Dead End for the Palestinian People. Timely, very important to understand, to have a complete understanding, the analysis of what is behind the actions of the Zionist government. Michael, let's go to, is Max there or is it Michael?
Hi, Amaya. We're both here. Max is here,
oh,
and I'm
terrific.
Here. And we're
hi,
just,
Max.
Maya
to
saying
Michael
hi.
Michael G. Haskins, who's been helping us with the fundraising and also has been our wonderful engineer week after week. Perhaps you could let people know how they can contribute and what to do if they get a busy signal, and then we'll go to the first excerpt.
Right, Maya. Well, what they need to do is call the number 212-209-2950. And, Maya, just give us an understanding of the CDs that are offered, The Hidden History of Zionism.
It's The Hidden History of Zionism and The Roadmap, which
right.
was one of the permutation of the imperialist negotiation to suppress the Palestinian people. The Roadmap, A Dead End is what we call it, A Dead End for the Palestinian People.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lecture presentation that was very widely received by people that Ralph and I gave in Marin County here in the Bay Area, and it includes three CDs. First, Ralph with an encapsulation of the hidden history of Zionism, and then I have a presentation about the negotiation process and how the Zionist state of Israel has been strangling, particularly the people of the West Bank, denying them of livelihood in order to force them to emigrate. And then the third part is a discussion with the people in the audience, a very lively discussion, as each and every one of you who have heard Ralph and myself been able to be at one of our lectures knows how lively these discussions are. So it's a three CD set for your contribution of $100. And your contribution sustains WBAI and maintains taking aim with our meticulous documentation and our analysis, our lifelong experience, too many decades to want to consider our involvement in struggles throughout the world as well as here in the United States. And we bring this to you each and every week. It's a unique perspective that you can't get anywhere else but on WBAI. We're showing our appreciation, and we hope to have you show your appreciation with your $100 contribution.
That's right, Maya.
212-209-2950.
That's right, Maya. For $100, we'll send that three CD set out to you. Make your calls now. We do have the tally coordinator standing by, and we have a volunteer standing by. We certainly need some more volunteers as we go forward these next couple of hours with Maya Schoen taking aim. 212-209-2950. Ralph Schoenman will be joining Maya in just a few moments. So let us hear from you now as we're getting ready to play the first excerpt, The Hidden History of Zionism, Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen taking aim, 212-209-2950. If, as we are short of volunteers right now, if no one picks you up, probably somebody will pick you up, and they'll put the phone down, and they'll get to your phone call straight away. There's a call coming in right now for taking aim, 212-209-2950. Remember to use your Visa card, MasterCard, or American Express, a check or a money order, but we do need you to call. Do place that call now. Do show your support for this program, and in fact, if you are a listener of the program Tahrir with Barbara Nimri Aziz, show your support, your financial support now for this time slot and for this radio station that is here for you. 212-209-2950. Maya, we're just about ready. There's another call coming in, Maya, just to let you know.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt
There's another call coming in. I just wanted you to know that people are responding, and I wanted
Great.
You to know that. Go ahead, Maya.
Great. I wanted to mention that between 5 and 6, we had Ralph Poynter, Lynn Stewart's companion, colleague, supporter, as well as husband, in the studio, helping us with the premiums, helping us with the support for taking aim in WBAI. As you will know, each and every week we have an update on the case of Lynn Stewart, our Mother Courage, over 30 to 40 years defending the oppressed, poor people. It's incredible the work that she has done, and now has she herself has been a target of the United States, of the terror imposed by the rulers in the United States upon each and every one of us, and particularly as expressed by those who reach out and defend us in our time of need, as Lynn has done time and again, because basically she is in prison for handling the defense of Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman, who was unjustly accused in the 1993 Landmarks case, a case that has been documented and even supported in the New York Times as being the work of an FBI informant and the FBI itself. So Ralph has arrived, and I'm going to conference him in while Michael goes to the first excerpt. Take it away, Michael.
From the Madrid conference in 1991 to Oslo. But there have been many more accords since 1991 with Madrid. Gaza, Jericho, Camp David, the Saudi plan, and now with the roadmap. The game, however, has always been the same. The liquidation of the century-old Palestinian struggle for self-determination. The unspeakable suffering and subjugation of the Palestinian people that we witness unfolding today in the West Bank and Gaza are but the little continuation of how all of Palestine was colonized. It is a shocking history of armed displacement, massacre, and expulsion that dates back to the 19th century. Tonight, Ralph is going to elucidate on the hidden history of Zionism, and then I'll discuss the roadmap and what is unfolding in the West Bank.
Thank you, Maya. Thanks to all of you, brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, for coming here for a discussion of an issue that has consumed people and yet suffers from the absence of real, concrete data and information pertaining to the nature of Zionism, its origins, its character ideologically, its role historically, and precisely the political process through which Zionism has assumed hegemony in the Middle East, and to no small extent over the centers of imperial policy itself, notably since the events of 9/11. There have been four prevalent myths that have characterized our understanding of the nature of Zionism and of the Israeli state that is based upon it, and particularly in the United States and in Western Europe. The first myth pertains to the claim of a land without a people for a people without a land. The second myth is that of Israeli democracy. Virtually every newspaper and every television story and every reference to the Israeli state is prefaced by the claim that it is the only real democracy in the Middle East and so on. The third myth pertains to security as the motive force of Israeli foreign policy. Here you have a predatory colonial settler operation which has sought to destabilize each Arab nation in the region and to entrap it and ensnare it in conflict, the better to usurp more territory, presenting itself in a defensive posture. And perhaps the fourth and most prevalent myth has been that of Zionism as the moral legatee of the victims of the Holocaust. And what is particularly savage in the irony that surrounds this claim is the fact that the Zionist movement and the Zionist leaders itself were the active collaborators with the perpetrators of the Holocaust. They participated in the suppression of Jewish resistance, and they organized a consistent opposition to any escape on the part of European Jewry. The objective of Zionism has never merely been to colonize Palestine in the manner in which the colonial powers colonized Africa and Asia and, yes, Latin America. In the latter instance, the objective was to obtain resources and cheap labor in the process of imposing a colonial and imperial hegemony. But what distinguishes Zionism from other colonial movements is the relationship between the settlers and the people to be conquered. Because the avowed purpose of the Zionist movement was not merely to exploit the Palestinian people, but to disperse and to dispossess them. The intent was to replace the indigenous population with a new settler community, to eradicate the farmers, the artisans, and the town dwellers of Palestine, and to substitute a workforce composed of a settler population. And in denying the existence of the Palestinian people, the Zionist movement sought to create the political conditions for their removal, not merely from their land, but from history. When acknowledged at all, the Palestinians have been reinvented as a semi-savage nomadic remnant. Historic records have been falsified, a procedure that began during the last quarter of the 19th century, but continues to this very day. The Zionist movement would seek, throughout its inception, alternative imperial sponsors for this bloody enterprise. In fact, if you look carefully at the progenitors of Zionism, the upper layers of the haute bourgeoisie in Europe, their basic approach was to treat anti-Semitism as something not only endemic and inevitable, but also of considerable value. They despaired of any alternative to the anti-Semitic climate of the imperial regimes in which they subsisted. And they advocated making common cause with the anti-Semites for the purpose of converting the Jews of Europe into settlers afar. Herzl approached the most anti-Semitic and retrograde regimes of the day. They approached Count von Plehve of the Tsar, the author of the great pogrom at Kishinev and of the Black Hundreds. And they approached them with the proposition that if they funded and armed a Zionist movement to colonize Palestine, the Zionist movement would undertake that task on behalf of Tsarist imperialism representing its commercial interests in the area. And the same pitch was made to the Kaiser, who for over a decade armed and supported and dallied with the Zionist movement. The same approach made to the French Imperium and, of course, to the British Raj. So from its inception, Zionism has seen as its task enlisting the imperial powers, and indeed the most retrograde and anti-Semitic of them, as the fundamental political economic sponsors of the colonial enterprise itself. And this project embraced as well the fascism of Mussolini. It was Mussolini who funded the Zionist youth movement, particularly Beitar, whose leader was Menachem Begin, who wore the black shirt and gave the fascist salute, which they changed to the brown shirt with the advent of Hitler and Nazism in Europe. And the Zionist movement did not miss a beat with the advent of Nazism in Europe. On the contrary, the local Zionist organization of Germany expressed its open support for the Nazi Party and enlisted the Nazi Party as its sponsors. And the labor Zionists would bring Eichmann to Palestine in the 1930s, Baron von Mildenstein of the SS for a period of 6 months, leading to a 12-part series in the publication of the SS called Der Angriff, which means the assault, praising Zionism, with Heydrich and Himmler overseeing the stamping of a coin with the swastika on one side and the Star of David on the other, culminating indeed in the moment when the Zionist movement of Shamir made a formal military pact with the Wehrmacht, discovered in the German embassy in Ankara at the end of the Second World War and known as the Ankara Document. So in understanding the particular political and ideological character of Zionism, both in relation to its victim people, the Palestinians, but notably in relation to the Jews themselves, we then come to comprehend the cruel irony of the ways in which the Zionist movement has wrapped itself in the collective shroud of the 6 million victims of the Holocaust, the better to visit upon itself a moral authority to impose on the Palestinian people a fate rather like that of the Jews in Europe. From its inception, every major spokesperson for the Zionist movement has set forth clearly what was intended in Palestine. It was nothing less than the systematic removal of the Palestinian people, their dispossession, and their elimination. In 1896, Theodor Herzl set forth his plan for inducing the Ottoman Empire to grant Palestine to the Zionist settler movement. If His Majesty the Sultan were to give us Palestine, we will undertake to regulate the finances of Turkey and form an outpost of civilization in opposition to barbarism, defending Turkish imperial and commercial interests in the region. Speaking at this Congress of the World Zionist Organization in 1905, the 7th World Zionist Congress, Max Nordau, a prominent Zionist leader, put forth before the Zionists themselves their concerns. There is a movement which has taken hold of a great part of the Arab people. It is taking a direction which will cause harm in Palestine. The Turkish government will feel itself compelled to defend its reign in Palestine and Syria with armed force. In these circumstances, we can persuade Turkey that they will require us to carry out their particular operations, a strong, well-organized, relentless military group which will suppress this population and eliminate it. The South African connection is a very old one. It does not merely encompass Prime Minister General Jan Smuts, who is South African delegate to the British War Cabinet, pushed the British government to adopt the Balfour Declaration, making a commitment to construct a Zionist colony under British direction. The relationship between Zionism and the South African settlers had evolved much earlier, because the settlers played a similar role in South Africa as they would in Palestine. N. Kirshner, the chairman of the South African Zionist Federation, provided a vivid account of the intimate interaction between the Zionists and South African leaders, the identification of Zionists like Weizmann and Herzl with the South African conception of a racially distinct colonizing population.
And we're back with this special edition of Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. Ralph, are you there?
Can you hear us?
Hmm.
So this has been an excerpt, an incredible excerpt, the introduction to The Hidden History of Zionism and the Roadmap, A Dead End for the Palestinian People. It's a 3-CD lecture. Ralph Schoenman with his encapsulation of the hidden history of Zionism, myself discussing the roadmap, A Dead End for the Palestinian People, and then a discussion with the audience. As we said at the beginning of the show, this is our gift to you, our support for WBAI. Your entire $100 contribution goes to WBAI. WBAI doesn't have to buy this premium. It has the full benefit, the $100 contribution. Know that every one of your dollars counts towards sustaining your listener-sponsored radio station, 212-209-2950. As it's the evening hour, please be patient when you make your call. And if you can volunteer and get down to WBAI to help with these final closing moments of the fund drive, please do so. 212-209-2950. We dug into archives to present this because of the incredible, rapacious assault by the Zionist movement, the Israeli Navy, upon the flotilla of 700 to 800 humanitarian solidarity pro-Palestinian activists and the crew of the ships, the flotilla, that has been coming from Ireland, from Greece, from Turkey, on its way to Gaza.
And brothers and sisters, the murderous assault upon the humanitarian effort to bring food and medical assistance and construction materials to the besieged people of Gaza takes place within a very specific
warmongering context of both the United States and its client state, Israel. Last week, there was a major air raid on Gaza. And then Israel, under U.S. direction, conducted its largest ever annual war drill. Army, security, rescue services ended a five-day military exercise with a mass mobilization of Israeli citizens required to dash to bunkers and safe rooms across the country in preparation for a simulated missile attack. The exercise prompted reports throughout the Israeli press of plans on the part of the Israelis to seize parts of Lebanon and Syria to pick off Iran's allies in the region. In fact, Israel for weeks has been making these specific threats to Lebanon and Syria following claims by Tel Aviv and Washington that Syria had been shipping long-range Scud missiles to Lebanon, totally untrue, presumably supported by Iran and Syria. On Sunday, Israeli warplanes carried out mock air raids over southern Lebanese villages at medium altitude over Nabatea, Khiyam, Marjayun. And Israeli surveillance drones carried out violations of Lebanese airspace over villages and towns throughout southern Lebanon. In fact, on Saturday, Israeli Foreign Minister Danny Ayalon threatened Lebanon's prime minister, stating that Lebanon will pay a high price in the event of a new war.
Ralph, I'm going to stop you here. It's time to give our telephone number again so that we have people calling. When you hear Ralph and the passion and the detail, this is typical of our Taking AIM programs if you're not familiar with them. If you don't get to tune in between 5 and 6, perhaps you're at work. If you are at work, you should make use of either the WBAI archive or the Taking AIM program archive. And the WBAI archive, you can listen to Taking AIM any time of the day. By going to the WBAI archive, which is there because we have this radio station. We have the Taking AIM radio archive with almost 9 years of programming on it because of WBAI. And that means because of each and every one of you. It is your sustaining your station. This is not a commercial station. We don't get interrupted every 6 minutes. In fact, I won't even be interviewed on commercial station because my thought process is interrupted. I cannot finish a thought, cannot get out to the people the information that is so critical. That's why we depend on WBAI. It is our access. It is a necessity. Now is the time. Now is the moment. Don't think about it tomorrow. Don't think about it next week. It's too late then. 212-209-2950.
And I want to emphasize, brothers and sisters, that this massacre of the Gaza convoy supporters is accompanied by the claim by Danny Ayalon, the deputy director of the Israeli parliament, that humanitarian ships were, in fact, instruments of al-Qaeda, that they were part of a terrorist campaign. The same rationale that has been provided for locking up the heroic figure Lynn Stewart and threatening her 30 years because she defended the falsely accused Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman and in the process exposed the fake nature of the war on terror, the responsibility of the FBI and the American rulers for the attack on the World Trade Center in 1993 for the landmark plot. Therefore, Lynn has to be assimilated as a terrorist into the category of terror. Everybody who resists, everybody who defends justice, everybody who speaks up for their rights, everyone who exposes the lies of our rulers is so targeted. Those are the stakes. And I try to put this in its proper context because this massacre of the innocents on the Turkish flotilla is part of a process. The Sunday Times, brothers and sisters, only this Sunday provided an exclusive report in London on Israel's decision to deploy 3 German-built submarines with nuclear-armed cruise missiles in the Gulf near the Iranian coastline. This was the day after Tel Aviv rejected a United Nations call to detail its secretive nuclear program. So here we have an actual menace of nuclear cruise missiles provided on an emergent basis by Germany to Israel for use in the Persian Gulf, even as the United States Congress and Barack Obama has earmarked $200 million urgently for ballistic defense missiles to be sent to Israel. And the Sunday Times reports that the first nuclear submarine has already been sent with ballistic missiles that they are dispatched to the Persian Gulf. And all three submarines, the Flotilla 7, the Dolphin, and Takuma and Leviathan, are to be permanently stationed now on a rotating basis. That's the context for this outrage, brothers and sisters. Look at the larger picture. See the hand of imperialism. See the mass murderer, Barack Obama. That's the only way to describe what he's doing to the people of Afghanistan, the people of Pakistan, and the menace to the peoples of the region, as to the Palestinian people. The like the lips to the teeth is the U.S. imperium to the Zionist state. That's the gravamen of this history of Zionism, the hidden history of Zionism that we have articulated, that we have spelled out with massive documentation and detail in these unparalleled CDs. We don't mince our words. We don't provide protective coloration for the nature of Zionism. We show that the Zionist apparatus is the enemy not only of the Palestinian people, but of the Jews themselves. The Zionists was the collaborators with the Nazis in every last particular. That is the irony. I want to mention, brothers and sisters, as we were describing in this lecture, that 50 years before, as we were describing, 50 years before, we were describing the liquidation of the Palestinian towns and villages, an orator responded, as we put it then, not to the occupation of his country or the liquidation of three-fourths of its towns and villages. He was not reacting to massacre, mass imprisonment, detention camps, and torture. He did not decry the theft of the land and property of an entire people, or their overnight transformation to pauperized refugees existing in tent camps, hunted and persecuted wherever they fled. He did not denounce a 60-year ordeal punctuated by unrelenting bombing, invasion, and yet further dispersal. He responded to but a few weeks of sporadic bombing as he declaimed memorably, "I have nothing to offer you but blood, tears, and sweat. You ask, what is our policy? I say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I answer in one word, victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory for us, let it be understood, there is no survival. Let that be realized. I feel sure that our cause will not be subject to failure, and I feel entitled to claim the aid of all," unquote. And 1 week later, he declaimed, "We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields. We shall fight in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall fight house to house. We shall never surrender. And even if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island was subjugated and starving, we shall carry on the struggle," unquote. And what is it that made it permissible for the head of the Raj, the Imperial Raj, Winston Churchill, to utter these sentiments, but renders them illicit for the Palestinian people, that renders them illicit for the oppressed of the world? Nothing but that endemic racism which colors consciousness in our society. Winston Churchill, brothers and sisters, was a belligerent spokesperson of British imperialism, notably in Palestine and the Arab world. If Churchill can be allowed demagogically to sound the call to resist aggression and attack, how much more are the Palestinian people entitled to fight back, to resist occupation, to battle there for their survival and social justice? How much more are the peoples of the world, hungry and exploited, immiserated and forever oppressed, entitled to collectively resist, to fight back, to proclaim the day of a new order, a new society, a transformation? How much more are the people of the United States entitled to resist that oligarchy that immiserates us, that cannibalizes the infrastructure of our society, brothers and sisters? How much more are the world soldiers for justice like Lynn Stewart entitled to espouse a resistance to this criminal state? That is our challenge, and that is the role of Free Speech Radio, to elucidate that reality, to provide the integument of history and facts and information and understanding to fuel our oncoming and necessary resistance. That is why we appeal to you, brothers and sisters. This is not a spectator sport. We are all engaged in this, and free speech is our opportunity, our precious right to fight back, to articulate reality, to speak truth to power, and to mobilize the many. Please call in your support for this unprecedented documentation of the real history of the Zionist state, of its relationship to the Imperium, to place in its context the latest and but continuing onslaught against those who find a way to express their humanity by identifying with the oppressed, with the people, the heroic people of Palestine, the world soldiers for justice, brothers and sisters.
Ralph, the number to call is 212-209-2950. And in keeping what you say, the Zionist propaganda is that their navy that had been rappelling down from helicopters, that was surrounding this unarmed flotilla of six boats, five of them small boats, and one, the large boat, sent from Turkey, that the Israeli Defense Forces were only defending themselves, that the Navy was defending itself in killing these innocent people. This is the propaganda. This is the false claim, and that's why understanding the hidden history of Zionism is so important. You have to be able to elaborate those four myths to understand the struggle to incorporate yourself in it and also to involve yourself in every aspect here in the United States and abroad. And to that requires our own arms, our own weapons, and that weapon happens to be a radio station, because without communication, you have no way of getting access to information, access to culture that is of the people, by the people, and for the people. Get on the phone, 212-209-2950. Our gift to you, and as I said, the full benefit goes to WBAI, is the Hidden History of Zionism and the Roadmap, A Dead End for the Palestinian People. It's a three-part CD.
I want to emphasize that a few weeks ago, Barack Obama and the Obama White House announced an additional $205 million for Israel from Congress for Israel's, quote, Iron Dome, a rocket system designed to be an anti-missile against short-range rockets fired into Israel. The Iron Dome was expected to be deployed throughout Israel's seven towns. And indeed, it is part of the preparations for a larger war, of which this massacre that we have been responding to, all of us, brothers and sisters, is but the latest expression.
And Ralph, this is as there is deepening austerity here in the United States, particularly targeting the most incapacitated, those who require home care, for instance. There has been massive, deep cutbacks of people who have relied on in-home support services. There have been massive, deep cutbacks on food stamps. There are massive, deep cutbacks on education, and yet they find the money for belligerence, for the Zionist state. Please get on the phone, 212-209-2950. Your contribution makes a very big difference. I think we'll go on to the second excerpt. We'll come back. We'll have more discussion. And then later in the next hour, we'll continue with a third excerpt of the Hidden History of Zionism.
And as we go along, I just want to update you with the tally that $1,000 plus has been raised in the first half hour. and calls seem to be coming in slowly but steadily. And there seems to be also one persistent Zionist on the line who ought to stay on and make a pledge and perhaps study this material.
Well,
we would like to say to you, this will open your eyes, or what's the expression? Take the veil away from your eyes.
Okay, remove the scales.
Remove the scales. Thanks, Ralph.
Let me just mention, Maya, brothers and sisters, one of the benchmark essays for the entire Zionist movement in 1923 was written by the revisionist Zionist Vladimir Jabotinsky, who it was called The Iron Wall, and I'm going to read a part of it as I ask you to call and to pledge your support, because it very precisely elucidates the real character, the hidden history of Zionism. He wrote as follows, quote, "There can be no discussion of voluntary reconciliation between us and the Arabs, not now, not in the foreseeable future. All well-meaning people, with the exception of those blind from birth, understood long ago the complete impossibility of arriving at a voluntary agreement with the Arabs of Palestine for the transformation of Palestine from an Arab country to a country with a Jewish majority. Each of you has some general understanding of the history of colonization. Try, he writes, to find even one example when the colonization of a country took place with the agreement of its native population. Such an event has never occurred. The natives, he writes, will always struggle obstinately against the colonists, and it is all the same whether they are cultured or uncultured. The comrades in arms of Hernan Cortes or Francisco Pizarro conducted themselves like brigands. The Redskins fought with uncompromising fervor against both evil and good-hearted colonizers. The natives struggle because any kind of colonization anywhere at any time is inadmissible to any native people. Any native people who views their country as their national home, of which they will be complete masters. They will never voluntarily allow a new master, and so it is for the Palestinian Arabs. Compromisers among us try to convince us that the Arabs are some kind of fools who can be tricked with hidden formulations of our basic goals. I refuse flatly to accept this view of the Palestinian Arabs. They have the precise psychology that we have. They look upon Palestine with the same instinctive love and true fervor that any Aztec looked upon his Mexico or any Sioux upon his prairie. Each people will struggle against colonizers until the last spark of hope that they can avoid the dangers of conquest and colonization and liquidation is extinguished. The Palestinians will struggle in this way until there is hardly a spark of hope. It matters not what kind of words we use to explain our colonization. Our colonization has its own integral, inescapable meaning understood by every Jew and by every Arab. This colonization has but one goal, and it is in the nature of things, and to change that nature is impossible. It will be necessary to carry on our colonization against the will of the Palestinian Arabs. That condition obtained in the past exists now and will remain in the future. Even an agreement with non-Palestinians represents the same kind of fantasy. For an order for Arab nationalists of Baghdad and Mecca and Damascus to agree to pay so grave a price, they would have to refuse to maintain the Arab character of Palestine. For we will not give compensation for Palestine, neither do the Palestinians nor do other Arabs, and therefore a voluntary agreement is inconceivable. All colonization, even the most restricted, must continue in defiance of the will of the native population, and therefore it can continue and develop only under the shield of force which comprises an iron wall through which this local people will never break through. That is our policy. To formulate it any other way would be hypocrisy. Whether through the Balfour Declaration or the British Mandate, external force is the necessity for establishing in this country conditions of rule through and defense through which the local populace, regardless of its wishes, will be deprived of the possibility of impeding us, administratively or physically. Force must play its role, with strength, without indulgence. And in this, there are no meaningful differences between our militarists and our vegetarians.
One prefers an iron wall of Jewish bayonets, the other an iron wall of English bayonets. To the hackneyed approach that this point of view is unethical, I say absolutely untrue. This is our ethic. There is no other ethic. As long as there remains the faintest spark of hope for the Arabs to impede us, they will not sell these hopes, not for any sweet words, nor for any tasty morsel, for this is not a rabble, but a people, a living people, and no people make such enormous concessions on such fateful questions of existence, except when there is no hope left, until we have removed every opening visible in the iron wall, unquote. Brothers and sisters, that is the meaning of Zionism. That is the nature of the occupation. That is the preparation and plan for the eradication of the Palestinian people from their land and from history. Let us not delude ourselves about this. Let us be clear. The voices of Zionism are explicit, unmistakable, and have never failed from generation to generation to articulate what it is they have in mind. That is the gravamen of the hidden history of Zionism. That is the reason why we seek to elucidate its character, its history, its practice on the ground, to illuminate what it is that the people are oppressed and faced with, and what it is that we have to do.
Please get on the line. Call 212-209-2950. And you just heard live an excerpt from The Hidden History of Zionism, which you will also get on this free CD package. 212-209-2950. It's our gift to you for your generous contribution to your radio station, WBAI. Remember, WBAI is there for you 24/7. It can only be there when you make your contribution. You are who sustains this station, that keeps the electricity flowing, that keeps the people the station, the engineers, the newscasters, the daily producers. You make it happen. We who produce weekly shows, we volunteer our labor. And we also, as in this case, we volunteer our products, such as the Hidden History of Zionism lecture. Please get on the phone. Join us in contributing to make our station stay a reality. 212-209-2950. We've prepared an incredible gift as our thank you to you. We're now going to go to an excerpt from the discussion of the roadmap, a brief excerpt, and then we'll be back and we'll have discussion. We'll ask you to get on the phones. We hope there are more volunteers to take your calls, but if not, please be patient. Someone will get to you. And then we'll return with another excerpt from Ralph's portion. Remember, in this 3D set, there is an hour-long discussion, period. And these are always extremely lively. Please get on the phone, 212-209-2950. If you're listening from around the world, as I know people do to our program, I just got a letter from Scotland. We hear from people from New Zealand and Australia all the time. Please go to www.wbai.org and make your contribution. Okay, Max, take it away.
In 1991, Haaretz, in September, discussed the full occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. Quote, the planned doubling of the Israeli population in the West Bank and the settlement program will speed up the strangulation of the Palestinian people in the West Bank. Israel will hold control of the land, the water, the budgeting, and the planning, while 2 million Palestinians will be delegated to closed pockets, what we call in South Africa Bantustans, isolated and cut off from one another with a low and backward standard of living and blocks of Israeli settlements surrounding them, imposing rigid security, political, and economic control over them. And Anthony Kuhn, in a study called Urban Planning in the West Bank in April of 1991,
said, quote, 60% of the West Bank is already appropriated. Remember, I was saying 40% of the 22% is really all that's been relegated for the Palestinians. 9% of historic Palestine. The Israelis, through their settlement and through military closures, have appropriated the rest of historic Palestine. Virtually all the land is closed and requisitioned, classified as state land or abandoned property. This is what the Israelis do for the construction of settlements and for the roads that are connecting these settlements, the new road system, which are Jews-only roads. They connect the settlements in the West Bank with Jerusalem and with Israel physically and economically, and as Kuhn says, fragmenting and containing all existing Palestinian communities, essentially creating a prison system for the Palestinians. This is the real roadmap. That is the delineation of this plan to relegate the Palestinian existence to a little Swiss cheese-like cantons that are utterly dominated, controlled, atomized, so that the sense of self-determination can only take place through a security apparatus. And that was first set up with the Palestinian Authority, which was to be a surrogate for the Israeli policing of the population, which had been done through military control prior to the setting up of the Palestinian Authority. And it's a policing of the population that serves one purpose only, and that's the pacification of the Palestinians, arresting the militants, arresting anyone who demonstrates, arresting anyone who has any resistance to the real objective, which is the security of the Zionist state. And that is the purpose of the Palestinian leadership. And that is what is spelled out in the current roadmap. And that is the real meaning of the so-called two-state solution. On the ground, what you have in effect is to make life so miserable for the Palestinian people so that you have their forced removal. There is no way to earn a living. There is the dispossession of their land. There's terrible insecurity, emotional insecurity, which you can imagine what it's like for the children growing up in that situation. There is no school system. Anyone would say they should leave. And that's what people have done throughout history with emigration from various countries. Most of the people here in the United States emigrated because conditions where they were intolerable. But what you have with the Palestinian people is a thorough tie to the land. They have resisted their transfer, the extermination of them as a people. Those who have lived in Lebanon and in Jordan and in Syria are conscious of their positions as refugees, where they don't have the right to work. For instance, in Lebanon, they do not get work permits. They must rely upon the United Nations Refugee Organization for their schooling. They do not have health care, and with the destruction of the PLO within Lebanon after 1982, they don't even have clinics and the social fabric to maintain their lives. Their aspirations will be to return to Palestine, and rightly so. The position for a democratic and secular Palestine was articulated by the PLO in 1968. And it was part of its charter. It was the minimum demand for a movement of national liberation. And it is a demand that we would recognize for ourselves and for any people throughout the world. But throughout the years, people who call themselves promoters of peace have made an exception for Israel, an exception for the Zionist colonial settlers that they would never make for the black population of South Africa, or for peoples anywhere in the world. They have always looked for a solution that would preserve the Jewish-only character of the Zionist state. 20 years ago, the Palestinian misleaders
and foremost among them, Khaled al-Hassan, who was a Fatah leader and the right-hand man of Yasser Arafat. He had close ties to the Saudi King Fahd and also to Moroccan King Hassan. Khaled al-Hassan was the architect of this two-state formula for accepting Israel. The formula required the change of the Palestinian Charter, which is what took place in 1991 as the precondition for the Madrid Conference. It's a dead end, and Khaled al-Hassan knew it. And this plan that was developed for two states was developed with none other than C. Vernon Walters. He was the deputy director of the CIA at the time. Now, Khaled al-Hassan didn't have illusions of what the purpose was of the two-state formula. He said prior to the first Madrid conference, quote, "This peace conference is not for the Palestinian question. It's to normalize the Arab-Israeli relations, and you need the Palestinians as the icing on their cake. The real purpose was to maintain the control of the oil of the Arab East, and with that oil, these country-selling regimes of Saudi King Fahd and the Emir of Kuwait alongside him." So Newsweek on October 28, 1991 said of Madrid, quote, "Baker sets a date for the Middle East conference, but it's too late for a land for peace deal on the West Bank." Here Newsweek understood. The settlement town of Ariel, for instance, which by the way is now a city, was